Okay, it looks like we're getting close to that time. So I want to welcome everybody to the Flagstaff Insight Meditation Community Sit on virtual sit on Monday night. I know most of you. My name is Kathy Small, and I sit in about once a month. For our main teacher, Brian, when he is away or otherwise engaged. I am a retired professor of anthropology. I teach meditation, still teach meditation at NAU. And actually, our class is going on right now, a 6-week class every semester. And that some of you even have taken. And I teach at the local jail when COVID is not happening. And I'm an author. I do a few other things in life too. And tonight, I think most of you know how this works, that I'm going to give a Dharma talk for about a half hour, and then we'll sit for about 35 minutes, take a little break, and then those of you who would like to stay for discussion, there'll be a few announcements. Those of you who would like to stay afterwards for discussion, are welcome to do that, and we can talk about your practice or the Dharma talk or whatever happens to be on your mind. So with that, I will start our talk tonight. So Mark, you're welcome to record tonight if you would like. And the talk you might have seen, they were asking now for titles. So I titled it Disenchantment and Divine Doubt. And actually that's very much what it's about tonight. So the unawakened state, okay, can be defined as a life completely engaged with the objects of our mind. And by that, what I mean is the unawakened state is just paying attention to the things that come through the sense doors, including all the sense doors plus thoughts, including the thoughts about everything. And as we awaken, and as our practice matures and we awaken, the knowing becomes more predominant than the things we know. Okay. And for those of you who have been doing this a while, I think it's something that you'll see. That the stuff of life, and the stuff of life, I mean both the external events that happen and the internal narratives about those events, become less prominent. They become less important, less attaching, less inviting, less compelling. It's a disenchantment process, it's often called. And tonight, I'd like to talk about that topic of disenchantment. The word I like to use to describe this, because there is the sense in this of breaking a spell of enchantment. That's really the feeling that I want you to have. It's breaking a spell of enchantment rather than just not caring anymore about the world, its events, or its inhabitants. That's not where we want to go. We want to become disenchanted with that, which is something else. And all roads to enlightenment from all teachers and all traditions really pass through disenchantment. So, what is it exactly? Okay, hold on. How do I recognize this? And how do I recognize the conditions that lead to it? One of the helpful conditions is the motivation to break the spell. And if your question right now, and most of you it won't be, but if your question is what spell, this is where you begin, with a sense that maybe you're under a spell, deluded, enchanted. And if we haven't experienced this clearly enough to know this viscerally, or have glimpses of this, can we just begin by entertaining the idea that maybe we're just not seeing our lives accurately? Can we begin there? Anam Thubten, who is somebody, he's a Tibetan teacher in the Nyingma tradition, who I really enjoy his work and enjoy reading him. He calls this divine doubt. And I like his idea. I like that term. It's doubt that serves a higher spiritual purpose. Can we entertain a doubt which increasingly does become a direct lived experience that goes something like this, okay? And this is how I think of it. My belief that this is my life, what happens or doesn't happen, what I like or don't like, my projects and my problems, what I have to do, what I'm thinking about these things. That's normally what, you know, conventionally what I think about as my life. My belief that this is what's important is not what's important. Focusing on these things instead is actually the source of my problems. Why? Because it invites attachment, by which I mean that craving, that grasping or aversion, the delusion, if you will, that my thoughts and my actions about these things, about my life, will solve my problems when they won't solve my problems. And why would they won't solve my problems? Because really they are my problems. And it's a real twist to be able to understand your life that way. And one of the ways that you know that you're, quote, enchanted, right, under the spell of delusion, is the constant comment about daily life in our heads. That incessant internal voice is a deflection from our true nature, okay? Joseph Goldstein, who many of you know, a Western Buddhist teacher, describes the way that this can work, that internal voice, even in his experience, which is much more subtle than the way that I experience that voice. And here's how he writes it. So I'm going to read. On a recent retreat, I had a revealing experience of how easily we fall under the spell of ignorance. And in a moment, how we can wake up from that spell. During walking meditation, I began to notice more clearly how often there is a thin layer of background thoughts, images, fragments of stories, floating like a thin layer of clouds across the mind. It might even be happening now. This stream of thoughts is hardly noticeable, but it's an ongoing creation of the world. It's the ongoing creation of the world we inhabit. It's actually creating what you think is reality. This stream of thoughts, and almost always the thoughts are self-referential in one way or another. In other words, they refer to things that bolster myself, my memories, plans, likes, dislikes. the experience of slipping into and out of these background thought worlds was the same experience, he says, of slipping back into a dream state after you awake in the morning. And you know, when you go back to sleep, you fall back asleep and then you're back in it again. I found that occasionally repeating a phrase during the day, I am dreaming myself into existence, reinforced the strong aspiration to stay awake and to notice more carefully the dream. Okay. You see what he's saying? You know, and most of you have like a frozen picture of yourself, so I can't see anybody, you know, nodding. But if you're there, if you're really there, you know, are you seeing what he's saying? You know, why is he trying to be vigilant about this inner voice, even the soft inner voice that he has? Because it keeps our attention rooted in the ups and the downs of a day, you know, the this or the that, the one thing after another of surface existence. Your life then totally appears as the content and your reactions to the content. That's what my life is. It's what those things that happen and what I felt about them. Okay. And you find yourself persistently quarreling or relating to what is, getting hooked by this surface reality, unable to see your life or yourself beyond these things, apart from the dream. Okay. And this is, you know, I find this particularly true for me when I'm dealing with a problem in my life or I'm dealing with a project. This month has been unbelievable for me. In terms of that surface reality. And that's really why I'm doing this talk, because I've been so challenged by my surface reality. Okay. So listen, I mean, if you got the sense from Joseph Goldstein, oh, he's noticing this thin veil that stands between him and reality that's really creating the reality. Listen to this 200 years before, okay, a different way to look at this. This is a poem from a Tibetan teacher and author from the 19th century, Patrul Rinpoche, who's born in 1808 and lives into the 1880s. Okay, so two centuries before, you know, Goldstein. And it sounds so contemporary. And the name of the poem that he writes is Advice from Me to Myself. Listen up, old bad karma patrol, he writes. Okay, it's a nice, you dweller in distraction. For ages now, you've been beguiled, entranced, fooled by appearances. Are you aware of that? Are you? Right this very instant. You've got to watch out. Don't let yourself get carried away by this fake and empty life. Your mind is spinning around about carrying out a lot of useless projects. It's a waste. Give it up. Thinking about the 100 plans you want to accomplish with never enough time to finish them just weighs down your mind. You're completely distracted by all these projects, which never come to an end, but keep spreading out more like ripples in water. Don't be a fool for once, just sit tight. Let go of everything, everything, everything. That's the real point, okay? This guy's writing in the 1800s, okay? Let go. He says, and he's not, it's important to understand a little bit about that let go. It's not, he's not talking about an act of willpower, something you have to do, okay? He's talking about the idea of a hot potato, okay? See the heat in the attachment. See the pain in the attachment, and you'll naturally let it go. Just be aware of the way that it's getting to you, the way it's fooling you, the way it's burning you. Okay. And this really is even how the Buddha, 2,400 years before this guy, talks about this same idea. Okay. It is in the sermon called the Fire Sermon, delivered to 1,000 Buddhist monks 24 centuries earlier than this 18th century guy. Okay. And here's the quote from him. And sometimes it's hard to, you know, read the old text to really get what they're saying. But see if you can't see that it's the same thing that they're all saying. Different. Bhikkhus, monks, all is burning. And what is the all that is burning? The eye is burning. Forms are burning. Eye consciousness is burning. Eye contact is burning. Whatever is felt as pleasant or painful, that too is burning. Burning with what? Burning with the fire of grasping, with the fire of aversion, with the fire of delusion. I say it is burning with birth, with aging, with death, with sorrows, with lamentations, with pain, with grief, with despair. Okay? Sometimes it's hard to read that era, you know, and get it in a contemporary way. But what is he saying? It's really the same thing as Goldstein. And the Rinpoche. It's his way of saying that all that what you take to be true through your senses and your thoughts, conventional reality, is a hot potato. That's what he's saying. It's burning you. So, although there are different methods, vocabularies, and even metaphorical descriptions for the steps to ultimate freedom from the various Buddhist traditions and various Buddhist teachers, there's one common understanding, okay, that will free the mind, and that comes up in all of them, and it's liberation through non-clinging. And you get to non-clinging through two steps that they have talked about, that they're pointing to you. See clearly what is burning you. See clearly what is burning you, not in a deluded way. All right, what's burning you? It's not the person who said those words to you earlier today. Those hard words, but the clinging to how I think it should have been, that's what's burning me. Okay, you see the difference? It is not the illness, but what you are heaping together on top of the illness that's burning you. It's a very different way to see our lives. That's step one, see clearly what is burning you. And step two, stop holding on. It's not even an act of willpower, as I said, just stop holding on to it. Let go of the thing that's burning you. Drop the hot potato and then sense the freedom that comes from that. It can be really hard when life is clawing at you for attention. As I said, you know, the last month for me has probably been the most challenging one in my life, you know, for various reasons, from people in my life getting sick, going into hospice, a fire in the house next door, you know, all kinds of things kind of happening that are dramatic. But how do you practice this? And I think the reason I'm talking about it tonight comes from this first line. The opening to practice, the opening for this is always where the burning is, okay? So because it's been burning, that's where the opening was for me, okay? I'm going to it. It's my only way out. So how do we work with that? The opening is where the burning is. The next time you notice a strong pull in your life, you know, and it can even be a strong pull like worry, okay, like planning. Use your divine doubt. What would that mean? This is not reality. I am caught and I can't see anything but my mind state. This is not the truth. It's just my attachment, my belief in it, that's burning me and making me see this as what I am and this as how things are. It's that simple. Let that lead you to mindfulness. And I know you've done this. Everyone here has done this in some way. So worrying. Oh no, this happened, okay? My partner got really sick and is in the hospital and, you know, needs more surgery and all this worrying, okay? And then there is that space that I know you all know about, the space that knows worrying. Oh, worry. Oh, yeah, worry. That space is a moment of non-worrying. There's no worrying that's happening in that space. That's a moment where I know, oh, this is what worrying feels like. It's different. And I know you all know that that's different, right? Or planning. Planning. And then, oh, I'm noticing my planning mind doesn't feel at all like planning, knowing the planning mind. It feels like something else. And with the space that knows comes a moment of non-worrying or non-planning. And even with physical pain, one can recognize a moment of non-pain. As you see through the solidity of the pain, as you notice, oh, it rises and falls. There's really little times when it moves or it changes or it gets less or more. And sometimes you can even sense pleasure, sense places of pleasure too. I've tried this when I'm sick. If I'm only seeing the sick, can I see something else? Can I feel that nice breeze? Oh, there's something else there. I'm not all consumed by that thing. And that's what we're after, getting the space around that thing, okay? The moment of non-pain means that the pain is coming and going, right? It's not always there. It's coming and going in what? In some other reality. In some other reality. And that's the reality that we're being invited to live in. It's not just all of this surface world, okay? And this is the way in. And then with that space, there's a touching of something bigger, more expansive, the sense of I am versus just I am versus the bounded problematic, I am that sickness I am, that worry I am, that thing that's happening, that mind state that's happening. I am less consumed, so this no longer looks like the totality of me and my life. And then the moment that happens, the spell is broken. Okay. And if you can keep seeing the spell get broken, even if you can't do it all the time, that's where the opening in terms of our practice is, that we keep seeing it and there's greater and greater trust that that's true. Our divine doubt, in a way, seems to grow. I know that's not me, that other thing. I know there's something else there. Okay. Okay. So tonight, when we sit, we'll take a break in a moment for a stretch. There's going to be lots of hot potato moments to practice, even in the sit tonight. Okay. They can take the form of anything you want or holding on to, anything that you're pushing away. And the one of the great Dogen masters of the last century, Tibetan masters, Tulku Orgyen, spoke about this particular thing that we're trying to do, of recognizing the nature of reality, the awareness free of any clinging to anything, okay? Of touching that, of being able to touch that. And his advice, which I think is good advice, I find it good advice for me, is short moments many times. There may be some people who see this and they get that other reality and boom, that's it. But for most of it, it isn't. It's touching it, touching it, touching it, losing it, touching it, losing it, touching it. And we just have to keep touching it. So as a simple experiment, the next time you have wanting and desire in the mind, instead of thinking about what you want and the plan for getting it, which is the normal way that we react, okay, investigate what the wanting feels like. You don't even have to do anything. And then notice how it feels when the wanting passes away. And given the law of impermanence, it always will. Okay, there are some things that happen more quickly. And the same thing with like a small aversion. You can just notice it, be with it, not have to do anything, and notice it, that it goes, okay? And this is really helpful for this practice of non-clinging. With bigger things where it's harder to see the passing away more immediately, just do the other thing that we talked about. See if you can notice the non-pain there or what else is going on besides that thing that is so drawing your attention to draw you to the greater field in which these things exist, so that you can more live there, live in that greater field than live in the one thing that you're attending to that's pulling at you. Okay. And this can become a framework for understanding our practice of letting go, of craving and aversion, short moments, many times. As you do this, as we do this, we learn to recognize and increasingly trust that place of ease and the truth of divine doubt. Okay, so let's sit together and you know, for this set, maybe thinking of those two things, can we allow things to pass away that are burning, either negative burning or positive, you know, that we're grasping or we're pushing away? Can we allow them to pass away and then notice the ease of letting the burning go? Or can we just see what else is there? If we have a pain or a restlessness, can we see what else is there? All right, those two things may help us in our sit tonight. So get in a comfortable position for yourself. That is upright and supported and relaxed. And opening first to whatever sounds may be in your space, or the sound of my voice. Just notice sound coming and going, allowing it to pass through the open space of your awareness. And treating all sound and sensation the same way, coming and going, in the open space of your awareness. Sound, sensation, even thoughts coming and going. None of it you, just passing through the open space of awareness. And as you turn your attention to your breath, just let the body breathe and notice the sensations as they come and go. noticing the place that notices the breath. Take no thing that happens in the space of awareness to be you. Not the sensations of the breath or the sounds or the thoughts. All coming and going, passing on their own. Allowing you to notice the greater space of awareness. And if your mind has wandered, gently return it to your breath. First, noticing the sensations of the breath. And then noticing the place that's aware of the sensations of the breath. resting there just for a moment. Short periods, many times. Keep coming back there as much as you can. whatever is happening right now in your experience, see if you can stay disenchanted from it. By noticing the burning, by noticing the pull, and letting go. So at this point, we will change to a different practice for 5 minutes. And I think what goes best with this talk is an equanimity practice. So I'm going to lead you through just a little bit different one tonight than we normally do, than loving kindness. And in equanimity, we're just trying to come to balance, right, with the conditions that are. So I know, you know, you can stretch on your own there, because everybody is almost, you know, in their own home. So if you need to stretch, please do. And find a comfortable position for yourself. And this is not so much a repetition of phrases. I will do a couple of phrases, as it is, I think, a reflection, a meditation and reflection for yourself. And for the first reflection, to be thinking of yourself, okay? And maybe what you're feeling right now in the world, about the world. And the first phrase in equanimity. For yourself, wishing for yourself. May I be undisturbed with the comings and goings of life events. May I be undisturbed with the comings and goings of life's events. May I find balance and peace amidst it all. May I find balance and peace amidst it all. Particularly as the debates are coming up, I think this is a good one. Let's acknowledge together as part of this meditation that all created things arise and pass away, joys and sorrows and pleasant events and people and buildings and animals and administrations and nations and whole civilizations. Let yourself rest in the midst of them, saying one more time for yourself. May I be undisturbed with the comings and goings of life's events. May I find balance and peace amidst it all. And next, turn your attention to someone you know, a specific person you know, who may be experiencing difficulties right now. And for other people, to keep equanimity, these phrases are often used in some combination. I care about your suffering. but realize I cannot keep you from suffering. Your happiness and suffering depend on your thoughts and actions, and not my wishes for you. May your thoughts and actions lead you to happiness. Again, thinking of that person who's going through difficulty. I'll repeat those phrases for you and think about that person. I care about your suffering, but I realize I can't keep you from suffering. Your happiness depends on your thoughts and actions, and not my wishes for you. But may your thoughts and actions lead you to happiness. And to the extent that this practice and your sit tonight has brought you some balance, can you expand your own field of equanimity to the larger world? Okay. So think of what you can offer with your balance, with a sense of peace that you may be experiencing. May I bring compassion and equanimity to the events of the world. May whatever peace and balance I find bring more peace and balance to those around me. May we all learn to see the arising and passing of all things with equanimity and balance. And thinking again of your own sense of stability and peace as an offering. May I bring compassion and equanimity to the events of the world. May whatever peace and balance I am finding bring more peace and balance to those around me. And then for all of us here, may we all learn to see the arising and passing of all things with equanimity and balance. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. I enjoyed being with you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.